listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening, good day, good night for Wednesday, May 7th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Glad to be here.
Yes, good to have you. And, of course, we've got Michael Kelly manning the phones tonight for the flood of phone calls we're bound to get. Anyway, he's there. We'll screen your calls. So if you'd like to call in about tonight's program, you can do that. The numbers are on your screen. Let's get through the preamble stuff. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, we also operate IMHS, where you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree in metaphysics, as well as ICHS, where you can get your certification, take standalone courses, and many metaphysical topics. The URLs for those, metaphysicsinstitute.org and ichsworld.org. Plus, we have other things, too, like paranexus.org and empoweredrecovery.org, so, or .com on that one. Anyway, a lot of different educational programs. It's good to have everyone here with us tonight or today, depending on your time zone around the world. And we also welcome those who are listening to the archives. I don't want to leave them out. That's a lot. Wouldn't want to do it. Tonight we're going to be talking about path adjustments from the universe. It's a rather interesting topic. And before we get into that, I just want to comment on our first semi-annual graduation ceremony that we had last Saturday. We had 100 people join us for that event right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we had 48 students graduate from 14 countries. And we had a few student speeches. And it was just a very exciting time. I had a lot of good feedback from that. And if you're an IMHS student, you can listen to that ceremony on in the student center at IMHS at metaphysicsinstitute.org. But it was a great time.
Well, we got Dr. Olga Nordstrom in the chat saying the graduation ceremony was fantastic. And, you know, we've had lots of emails since then, too. So, you know, it's a hit, and it was really great for us. So Tracy's in there, too, saying, woohoo, awesome event. So it was good for everybody and wonderful for us, too. So,
and they both graduated, so that was good. And it was just, it was wonderful. So our next graduation ceremony is going to be the first Saturday in December. So if you're an IMHS student, even an ICHS certification program student, you can also participate in that. Anyway, it was great. It was really enjoyable, and it worked out a lot better than I had anticipated. So we appreciate all our students and family and friends joining us then. All right, let's talk about our topic, which I think is interesting. Path adjustments from the universe. You know,
I know about that.
Yeah, I think
I know
everybody
about path
does.
Adjustments.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the baseball bat type of path adjustment?
It's like intersection, so you got to watch out for collisions. That's what I call them. Sometimes, man, I'm just going down the road. I think I'm just awesome, and then smack upside the head. So I know all about path adjustments.
It's really the pits when you collide with yourself.
I know.
Is that even possible?
Yeah.
All right, so everybody's on their own unique journey. That's enough. It's a given. But have you ever wondered why certain things happen that change your direction? You ever had somebody come into your life and for a time? It's like they come into your life, then they go out of your life. And the result is some significant adjustment in the direction you're going. Those are things that happen to all of us, but we may not quite recognize them for what they are. A lot of times we just wonder, gee, I really hit it off with this person. Where'd they go? Why didn't they stay in my life? You know, how did we get disconnected? Or why did we just move apart? Why didn't it stick, you know? There's been a number of different things like that that's happened to me. I'll start off with a story, kind of, you know, get this energy going here. And it's a big one because it involves this very program and this the school. You know, it's like people come into your life and they can make a difference. I credit, really, meeting Dr. Ingrid Irwin. She's been on our program before. She's an instructor at IMHS. She's, in my opinion, one of the world's foremost leading authorities on EVP research, serious EVP research. And she came to Paranexus back in 2008 as a charter member when we got Paranexus going. And she just was such an awesome person, and she just really, she took part in it, and she was an EVP researcher, and we got talking more, and she ended up being on the board of directors for Paranexus back in the day, and she talked to me about metaphysics, and if I hadn't had that conversation with her, none of this would even be here. And she's not like she's not in my life. She's off doing her thing, but she still teaches an EVP course at IMHS and at ICHS, and it's unlike any EVP course there is anywhere. It's just awesome. It's a serious EVP course. So she's still around, but if it hadn't been for her coming into my life, you know, this would have perhaps taken a lot longer. Interesting.
You know, Doug, though, I'm going to inject here with equal and opposites, because some people can come into your life and the opportunity is to say, no, I don't want you in my life.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I got a couple of marriages to attest to that. You know,
and these
are the things how we learn when people come into our lives. There's always a learning that we hope. Look, I've met just some really extraordinary people who had such a positive, wonderful impact in my life. But equally, I think there's a lot of people like myself, we're always questioning, okay, and why did that one come into my life? And why did that one come into my life? And trying to find some kind of meaningful understanding about what the lesson is. You know, because I've met other folks too I didn't marry, and I didn't get involved with, but I didn't particularly like very much, but through them, I got to meet some really good people.
Mm-hmm.
So not every interaction is going to be that positive, oh, my God, this is going to be really great
and
impactful.
Well, that's true, but sometimes we don't see it for the life-changing, the positive that it is. You know, it's like, you know, in life, when one chapter closes, another one opens. One door closes, another one opens. And so if you look at relationships in that vein, okay, how am I different now that this person has been in and out of my life or has come into my life? You know, people come in and out of our lives all the time, and some stay and some don't. Why? You know, what is it about that? I mean, some can come into your life for a time. It might be a year, two or three or five, and then they're gone. Why? What happens? You know, what was that for? And I'm not saying that every single instance is some life-changing significant thing. What I'm suggesting is we look at it and say, how am I different for having known this person? Did knowing them, meeting them, result in any changes? Did I meet somebody else, like you just said, Vicki? Did I meet somebody else through them that had made a difference in my life or helped me to change my direction?
Well, and I think that that's really important to acknowledge that it's, you know, if we take a look at frequencies, you know, we're all emitting a frequency. You mingle frequencies and your frequency changes. You know, it's like that energy now begins to shift. So we are always expanding and growing and our frequencies are always changing. I think the key of this is to become more conscious. Now, that's not to say we can't get blindsided, because we all do at some point. We can't know everything, but there are multiple layers of energies going on all the time. And it's my belief, truly, the truer I stay to my frequency and I focus forward in that grounded, positive way, then it's not so much anybody can swipe me upside the head to get me off my track, but rather expand in my frequency so that I can be more greater and just more conscious, I think, if that makes sense at all.
Yep. Okay, good. And let me just inject this. If anyone has a comment that you would like to share, you're more than welcome to call in to our lines there. The number's on your screen, 714-459-3973. You can also click on the Skype icon if you're on Skype, and Michael will take your call and put you on hold, and we'll bring you on. And I also want to add, too, that this program is generally 30 minutes, even though I had set it to 45 minutes. It gives us a buffer of 15 minutes to expand it or extend it if we need to. That's because I apparently cannot extend it anymore on the fly like I used to, but that's another matter. Here's another aspect of this whole path adjustment thing from the universe, and that is not learning the lessons. We are given opportunities to learn lessons in life. Some of them we don't even recognize. Some of they keep coming back, and that's the key. You know, it's like the universe continues to provide us with an opportunity to learn a lesson. And if we don't learn it, we get another opportunity to learn it. And that makes perfect sense. And I'm not suggesting that there's somebody out there pulling strings. I'm saying that circumstances are such that if we don't learn a lesson, we continue to face the same kinds of things, whether they're challenges or problems or difficulties or whatever. But when we learn the lesson, we change. We change the way we go about things. And so then we will avoid those same circumstances in the future because we've learned that lesson. Now we don't need to relearn it, usually, and we go on a little bit of a different path. So that's another way that we could say, you know, path adjustment from the universe, basically just from life.
Well, that goes in hand with frequencies and like attracts like energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still in that fold, and I think as we, you know, as I said earlier about we keep going forward, we think we're going forward, but really there's something that we're tripping over so that we repeat a pattern. And it's some in there somewhere is a frequency that we need to be conscious of to be able to change it. Yeah, you know, I guess this is the point. Why do I keep, you know, people say, why do I keep, and I've said it myself, why do I keep doing this? And it's not the whole of the individual that's messed up. It's just this tiny one little thread. And it's just sometimes to nail it so that we don't trip over it, and that one thread, you know, doesn't keep repeating a pattern that's obviously quite significant. So then once we're conscious, then we emit a different frequency, which means our thinking changes, our emotions change, our behaviors, and so on. So I think that's also another way to say, you know, what can I change if I'm repeating a pattern?
That's good. And
that's good.
It is. Everything you say is good all the time.
Aw.
I'll bill you later. I'm just really into this topic. I'm just trying to think about how our lives change because of things and events and people that come into it. And one of the reasons is, you know, I've got a student who had a friend, and in one of her assignments, she was a bit upset over her friend coming into her life and basically not treating her like her friend thought. And, you know, as we have so often, we have students enrolled who know each other. You know, friends, different friends will enroll. But, and I suggested to her that perhaps her friend's role was to introduce her to IMHS because the student was really getting a lot and is getting a lot out of the program. And so that just seemed to make all the difference in the world. So the point is that when we understand that people come into our lives for a reason and to identify that reason, it can also serve to remove hurt, pain, because we understand, oh, their role was to do this or their role was to do that. Their role wasn't just to come into my life and wreak havoc, but perhaps it was to awaken me to some concept or to alert me to something that needed to be changed or to help me in my own self-discovery. You know, growing pains are called that because they can be painful. And sometimes people that don't hang around are the ones who are the most honest with us, and it can at least get us thinking about changes we need to make.
Don't you think we outgrow people too, Doug?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, it's not just an intersection where they serve a purpose to inspire and we learn, but, you know, I think that we can, very often it happens that we only run parallel to each other for a certain amount of time, and then somebody outgrows.
Oh, yeah. That's why people grow apart, because they grow in different directions. Often one person will outgrow another person. I mean, that's happened to me a lot in life. I just move past, keep going. People don't want to keep up. They don't want to go that direction. Fair enough, but I'm moving. You know, if you want to come along, no sweat. Better keep up, because I'm moving forward.
But isn't it always like the fundamentals of us that keep us together? And I mean, I can look at this globally. You know, what do we share as a humanity, in that we all aspire, I hope, to something greater.
Mm-hmm.
But also then, and that kind of glues us as a humanity, or what we want, how we want to become better people, create a better life. But also in relationships, if we keep some fundamentals together, like what we believe in, or our, the principles, our ethics, our morality. And I think then if those very basic likes are in place, then we can kind of weather those other changes, because we don't always grow at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
I guess people would want to know, I'd like to know, how we stay together then. How does a family stay together? How, you know, how do business partnerships stay together? How do, and for long periods of time, there's some marriages, Doug, that exceed 50, 60 years, and there's something, that core value is intact, but they can weather the storms of life. So what is that frequency, or what is that, those,
well,
very basic elements?
It goes back to energy signatures, doesn't it? We all have that vibe. I mean, and it depends on whether our energy signature is compatible with somebody else's. And those energy signatures change by what goes into our minds. You know, our core values, our beliefs, our knowledge can change that energy signature. As long as our energy signatures are compatible, then we get along. We remain friends, we remain married, whatever it happens to be. But when people don't grow together, when their interests are so varied and so diverse that they're no longer similar, well, their energy signatures are no longer compatible. They're no longer harmonious. So they grow apart.
You know, I have a girlfriend who, I've known her for 35 years. We are so different. I mean, we're very, very, she's very pragmatic. I'm very emotional and right-brained. But there was something that kept us together after all these years of our friendship. And, you know, each of our lives got taken in different pathways, but we would still come back to connect with each other. And I couldn't tell you what that frequency is, except that for us it was that, I guess, the respect. You know,
mm-hmm.
There was something that we could see in each other that we respected, that we could grow with the changing times.
And part of that is just allowing the other person to be who they are and not trying to change or control them. That also goes a long way in keeping a relationship healthy. And I understand, I mean, there are people that I could, you know, go and talk to again who I haven't talked to in decades, and we could pick up right where we left off. That's because we had a deep bond at the time. We perhaps had something, some commonality, some common ground that brought us together in the first place. Maybe that's what you had with your friend. You had something. Maybe you went to the same school. Maybe you went through, you know, it's like people who go through some traumatic event together and come out of it. They have something that connects them, you know, something like that.
That's very interesting. We were both single moms at the time. We both worked in the media. So there were some really interesting connections that we had, and yet we did all those things very different too. But
mm-hmm.
I think there was a curiosity, you know, and an actual interest in how the other one would think or feel, and we'd have great conversations.
And mutual respect, no doubt.
Absolutely, mutual respect. But it's interesting how there can be something that can trigger between people. I've had it happen, you've had it happen. Trigger that is like out of nowhere. You don't expect that somebody to say that something. You didn't know that about their core values. you know, there's just something that turns everything sideways. Well, and I say, whoa, I've known this one for 10 years. I had no idea. And it just changes the view of the relationship and the dynamic.
Well, I have a couple of things to comment on that. Number one, if that's the case, and it's very often the case, they were putting on a pretense. They weren't being who they really are. They weren't being true to themselves. So they were putting on a pretense. They were putting on a facade, a face, a valance. They were not being, they would only let you see a particular side of them. I mean, we see this all the time in dysfunctional families. I mean, you look at a family, oh, they are the textbook example of a perfect family. But unbeknownst to the world, you know, behind the doors, he's beaten her or she's an alcoholic or whatever. But to the outside public, they all look like a prim and proper, nice family. And yet we call that the family secret. So in those cases where they can do something, they're, you know, it's like time will reveal one's true colors, right? And that's what happens.
And very often what happens is somebody from the outside to connect with one who's in that dysfunctional relationship that starts to change up the energy. You know, so again, there's another opportunity to change the path. But I think it's really important for us to be very clear about what path we're on.
It is. And, well, we've had a lot of shows on that one, too, where you got to know who you are and why you are who you are. And as I said at the graduation ceremony the other day, you have to follow your path. Those of you listening to this program, you have to follow your path because no one else can walk your path. It's uniquely yours. And if you don't walk your path, being true to who you are, then your path is not represented in this world, in this realm, because you're not walking it. You're walking somebody else's. If you want to be like somebody else, then you're not being who you are. That means you're trying to be a copy of someone else, and that's not healthy. Be who you are. Walk your path, regardless of what people think, regardless of what they say. Remember the old adage, what you think of me is none of my business. If you have a purpose, then be about it. Go out and happen to life. Deliver greatness to the world in your own way. Be focused on that and walk your path and be proud of who you are. And look for those path adjustments. I mean, heck, these radio shows could be a path adjustments. When we hear something, it's a moment of truth. When we hear something that just resonates with us, something clicks with us, we have an epiphany. Those are all path adjustments by the universe. And they can happen spontaneously.
See, and I think that that's a really important point to make, too, is that it doesn't always have to be an individual who changes our lives. It could be a line in a book.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something that suddenly connects our dots, as we
Absolutely.
Say. You know, it's just, whoa, I just connected a dot. I had this file over here of thinking, that file, and something just bridged it. And then we're changed again. But there's always somebody behind, in other words, there's catalysts behind how you got the book. So I think when we're talking about people,
right.
Exactly, we connect with each other in the oddest of ways, I think, that, you know, I mean, I've read all the Shirley MacLaine books, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're best friends, you know,
uh-huh.
And I've loved some of her books, you know, and it, because it inspires me and gets my imagination going, and if she can do it, you know what I mean, it's that whole, it's an inspiration, and yet I don't know her, I mean, she you
sure.
know, but there's somebody behind the line in a book.
Well, and that's why they say there are no coincidences, right? And that's a way of looking at life. There are no coincidences. That's another way of saying let's see if we can eke out or glean any meaning from a particular event, something that's happened. What's in it for us? You know, how will this impact our lives? That could be an event. It could be reading a quote. It could be meeting somebody. It could be somebody that drops in out of nowhere. You know, we call them angels. We're not talking about spirits here. We're talking about people who are paying it forward, people who do kind, random acts of kindness. And they'll drop in and they'll do some nice, kind act, and you'll never know who they are, but they've changed your life. You know, there was a fellow, I know who he is, a few years back, times were tough, and he dropped in and helped, And I will never be able to thank him enough for his kindness. I can't express to you the kindness that he showed. And is he in my life today? Not really. You know, every now and then I'll email with him, you know, but it's that his role was over. He did his thing and he's on about his stuff. I'm on about mine, but he changed my life in a way. He helped restore my faith in humanity too, but he helped out. He did a kindness at a time that it was desperately needed, and he had no idea that it was needed. That's the key.
So this brings up, too, that sometimes these cosmic intersections, if you will, of meeting people don't have to be any more than a moment, but they can be really powerful.
Yes.
Because sometimes I think we read more into why did that happen. You know, people read more into it. And I, you know, sometimes I just say, look, crap happens. I don't know. You know, stuff. There's things that we will not understand, but I think the point is to roll with it, ride it out.
Yes. And, you know, that's true. We have a question.
Yeah, I see this question in the chat. Sorry, Doug.
Go ahead.
She says, my question is, I have hit rock bottom in my career. Was it predestined or was it due to my own personal shortcoming? Well, you and I have both got a lot to say about that, Doug.
You first.
We knew about that stuff. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, was it predestined? The answer is no. There is no predestiny. That is determinism, and free will cancels out determinism. Free will cancels out predestiny. So that's not an issue. As far as your own personal shortcomings, gosh, I don't know. That's, you know, it's hard to say without knowing you. But there are other reasons why your career might have hit rock bottom. Maybe the industry's gone south. Maybe you're no longer interested in it. Maybe it's the universe trying to say, hey, have you considered this other area over here? And tell me this. You don't have to tell me this. So this is rhetorical. But you say your career's hit rock bottom. Well, what do you really want to be doing? Is this something you really, really want to be doing? And if it is, if this is your passion, your dream, then you need to infuse some more energy into it. And that usually means more data. You've got to get some more information because something is stagnated. Well, you need something else to infuse energy into it. Now, if this career is not what you would be doing if you were independently wealthy, then you have to identify what that is and at least move that direction, even if it's baby steps. Move the direction of your passion, your purpose, what you want to be doing with your life. Now, that may not pay the bills. You may have to work in your career or something that's going to do that, but you can do it on the side until you work it into a career that pays your bills. And that's without knowing anything about you. I'll turn it over to Dr. Vicki.
Well, we live in a really odd world now in a lot of, especially the corporate world, that's driven by money and profit. And when you're dealing with, let's say, in an environment that's all about money and not remembering the people, those really shiny people suddenly start to pale. And they take that to heart. You know, it's like, what did I do wrong? Well, there's nothing. They're looking at bottom line of money, and you're not fulfilling the criteria of money because you're too busy worrying about the well-being of everybody in your staff. So we've all heard these stories before. So there can be many angles of what's going on. Maybe it's not a personal shortcoming at all. Maybe there's greater expectations from management. Maybe, you know, there's just so many maybes. I think the hardest thing when you've reached, you know, kind of you hit the wall for a minute and you hit that wall and you say there's something really wrong here because your frequency has changed to the environment. So think of it as an electrical current in a way, and don't take it to heart. It's really hard not to do that, I know. But it's, okay, there's my frequency and the frequency here. This isn't working anymore. So
well, yeah.
I have to change something in myself because I can't change my environment, but I can change me and create a new environment so that it resonates with me better.
And be careful not to be too hard on yourself or too blaming yourself. I mean, there are times in my life when you could say my career hit rock bottom, but was that a bad thing? No, not at all. It wasn't a bad thing at all. It was a great thing. because it told me something. This is not what you need to be doing. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what it's telling you. I'm telling you what it told me. This is not for you. I've had careers where this is no longer for you. You're stagnating. This is not working. You're not doing your best work because you're not interested in it. So do yourself, your customers, your company a favor and move on. And I did. And that's just for me. That was my lessons. Perhaps you'll see some similar lessons. But don't necessarily say, it was my own personal shortcomings that led me to switch, to move on to something different. No, it was that I just wasn't interested in it anymore. I'm not going to blame me.
Well, and then maybe there is a shortcoming that just doesn't fit in the environment anymore, but don't take it personal, which is tricky. You know, I had this many years ago, I went in to tape radio shows. I had been with this particular radio station for about a year or so, and I'd go in and pre-tape shows, and they'd run, and it's just a part-time thing on the side I did. I went in one day to tape shows, and the woman says, "Why are you here?" I said, "Oh, I'm scheduled with a producer," and she said, "Oh, no, you don't work here anymore." I had no idea. They had a meeting 3 weeks earlier, canned the show, and went on to something else. And I when you sit there and you look at somebody like your puppy and you turn your head sideways, and I was shocked. But the thing is, I couldn't take that to heart because it had nothing to do with me.
Right.
You know, it's my particular program and delivery no longer fit their format. It had nothing to do with me. It had to do with the format. Mm-hmm. So I took myself and my show to a different radio station.
Yeah.
See, that's another way to see it. So it very much depends on the circumstances, and not to give up hope in yourself because something just didn't fit that day.
Yeah, and that's great example, great experience, and great analogy, and great, and that's what you got to do. Just, you know, there's already a zillion reasons for people to feel bad about themselves. Don't add any more to it. In fact, take all those ones off the list. You know, start coming up with reasons to feel good about yourself, to feel good about what you're doing. And if you don't feel good about what you're doing, then do something you can feel good about, something that is in line with your higher purpose, with whatever it is, you know. And people say, "Well, gee, what's my purpose?" And my answer is, I don't know. That's for you to decide. You know, the big question is not what is our purpose or what's the purpose of life. The big question is, what's my purpose in life? And that's for each of us to decide. And we have to accept responsibility for that, and we have to figure it out. And if we can't figure it out, it means one thing. We don't have enough data to make a decision. So you got to go and experience. Expose yourself to different things so that you can sort out what it is that interests you, what your purpose is. And time is another thing, too. A little time needs to pass, and it will usually become manifest. I mean, 10 years ago, I had no clue I'd be, you know, running a metaphysics school and being on this radio program. I had no clue. 5 years ago, I had no clue. So, you know, things change. And I look back when I founded IMHS and MCHS Church, in the spring of 2010, when I founded it, I had an epiphany. I realized that all of my experiences, all of my training, all the different things I did, my businesses, Paranexus, you know, all the multitude of things that I did, the website design, all the stuff, everything I've ever done, my alcoholic relationships, all that stuff, my 40 years in a cult, all of it came down to that one moment that I realized, oh, that's why I did all that stuff. So you know, I could now do this because it all came together. This was what I'm supposed to be doing. But it couldn't happen until I was 51 years old.
You know, you bring up a great point, because I'm going to go back in your life when you were at a point when you hit rock bottom, when you lost your one business, office supplies, wasn't it? You closed it down, it changed. You know, there's different points when you say, okay, this is my career, this is what I'm going to do. And we tend to think in absolutes. We tend to think in, oh, this is what I'll do, but nobody's thinking the rest of their life. You know, so it's you, when you close that business, then you got onto another business. Mm-hmm. And then you got onto another business and another business. The average individual changes their career 4 to 5 times by the time they're 50 or 55. And that's a statistic, everybody. It's you either change the positioning or let's say you start out as an accountant, for instance. You maybe you're doing bookkeeping and then you go into this and then you go into that. And you maybe you move from that into management. Well, that's a career change. So it depends the angle. Geez, if I can say this, it's 4 or 5 different things that we do. The days have come and gone to say, I'm going to go have this job for 35 years, retire, and get a pension.
Yeah.
That's really not realistic.
Mm.
So when we say my career's hit bottom, it just means it's time to change. That is done for you at that,
yeah,
at that moment.
Opening
and,
the door.
And, you know, that same same woman in the chat, and I'm assuming that's a woman, figuring out a way to make the best of it, and now you're using, you're doing something that uses your experience to move on, and you're absolutely correct. That's what Dr. Kelly has said, that we don't know what the reason is. Sometimes, you know, I've been a waitress. You know, actually, I thought I was a good waitress, but everybody else didn't. So,
as reflected in the lack of tips, right?
Well, you know, it's spilling drinks. That'll do it, you know.
Right.
But there's a lot of different things I have done. You know, for the sake of money, too. I mean, I had to raise 3 kids on my own. I worked in a flower shop one summer. But I loved it, I got to tell you. And I knew it wasn't my career. I needed the money, but it was creative. I learned a lot of stuff about flowers. So, you know, and it was service. You see, I always told my kids, too, if you're going to go serve coffee, you're not serving coffee. You're serving people. You see, it's just the coffee is the vehicle. So, yes, there's, you know, we need to earn money. You find different ways to earn money, and you just keep going, and then you come back to your center about who you are, what you are. I mean, I started out as a freelance writer, you know, as well as a counselor at a time when people would say, are you nuts? But that's all I knew to do. I mean, I was driven, but I did some business consulting on the side for people, and I took my other skills and found ways to move it out there. So, but I kept going forward. So I can honestly say that in 40-some years, I've always been a counselor and I've always been a writer. But I've also worked in a flower shop.
And she's one of the best spiritual counselors I've ever seen, if not the best. Unbelievable. And that's what she's gifted
Thank
in.
You.
So
Thank
what?
You.
So those of you listening to this program, what are you gifted in? What is your particular blend? You see, I'm doing my thing, and Vicky's doing her thing. What's your thing? What blend do you have? What's in your heart? What is your purpose? What is it you want to accomplish? How do you want to leave the woodpile higher than you found it? How do you want to go out and deliver greatness to the world? It can be in any multitude of different ways, utilizing your gifts, your unique blend of talents, abilities, gifts, and if you still don't know what it is, you need more data, got to get more info, start looking, start exposing yourself to different things, looking everywhere, look for signs. And again, I'm not suggesting that there's somebody out there baiting you or putting signs in there for you. It's simply being observant about life and looking for any potential lessons there are in different circumstances or different things that happen to us. Being observant. And those can result in path adjustments from the universe. And when I say from the universe, it just means from life, the lessons we learn in life.
You know, Michael had made a comment in the chat here, Doug, and he said there's the motivation has to come from somewhere. And the conversation in the chat was a little bit about money and security. But what he adds in here, and I think this is important, if your career's on the upswing but your heart isn't in it and you don't find it fulfilling, it still might not be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're on the upswing, but your heart's not there.
Exactly.
And we have to watch how easily we can all be seduced. And I think Michael made a great point there, and I just wanted to bring that up because it's true enough.
And Dr. Casey did as well. Sometimes I feel when we don't like a job, we subconsciously create situations to get ourselves kicked out of it and move us closer to what we really want. Absolutely. You know.
Big one.
Yeah, it's a great point. We do that. We typed on that. We probably all have. We just have to recognize what we're doing. And that's why I said, look, if you're not happy where you're at, if you're not happy in your career, aside from the practical implications, yes, you have to make a living, you have to pay your bills. So do that, yes. But if you're really, really miserable in it, do yourself, your customers, and your company a favor and move on. Go do something you really like, because life is way too short and it's way too long to do something you hate.
And if people are giving you the same grief, it's not just the job, it's relationships and friendships, yeah, and dynamics. And if it's no longer serving your pathway, if it's no longer serving your vision of what you want your life to look at, which is a really good exercise to do, everyone, what do you want your life to look like? You know, what is your visual? And how, and you know, there's some, Dr. Kelly has some great little, you know, techniques too about, you know, recreating your future. Look back and what does your past look like from the future? You know, so there's lots of little ways that we can open our minds and our energies, if you will, to keep moving forward. And if people are no longer serving that, it doesn't mean you have to like throw them all in the trash. It just means that you're not going to give those people that energy of yours, because it's beautiful energy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like move it forward. Yeah, you know, we get emotional at times. Our feelings get hurt. And, you know, we're all in this together. We all are human beings and have that experience. But then you gather your forces and you keep going forward on your path. But it's so much easier when you know what your path looks like.
Right. So be practical about it. Don't be stupid. Don't go just quit. But make plans and figure out what, you know, what you should be doing. These are all path adjustments by the universe. And, you know, look for them. There's so many of them. They could be people. They could be events. They could be challenges. They could be problems. They could be, you know, just losing interest in a job. There's all kinds of things that these path adjustments could be. And look at them as just that. They're a path adjustment. They're a sign from life that, hey, it's time to rethink something here. Rethink where I'm going, where I'm headed, and what good I can do.
And do it on your own. And don't be afraid to do it on your own. You don't need a group. You don't need a pack. You don't need to be, you know, recognized by other people and get their permission. You don't need to be embraced by, oh, yes, that's a great change. Do your change for you, because it's good for you. Just wanted to say that, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like I said the other day and tonight again, walk your path, because if you don't walk it, it won't be walked. Nobody else can walk it. Only you can. Decide what's good for you. Decide what's in your heart and make your own decisions. Don't let other people make your decisions for them. Don't worry about being, if I don't do it this way, then they won't like me. That's all them esteem. You don't want that. Life's too short to not walk your own path and live your own path. And life's too short to not pay attention to these lessons from life, otherwise known as path adjustments from the universe.
Well, that went by fast.
It did.
Jeez,
I thought we were going to be 30 minutes. Yeah. So much for that idea, which is fine. I mean, that's why I set it here, so we could expand and extend it if we needed to.
Good conversation.
So
conversation.
Next week we're going to have another interesting topic. We've been talking about a couple of them, and we'll get that up on the website. If you're interested in getting your degree in metaphysics, please visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org. You want to just take a standalone course and a lot of different things, including paranormal science, visit ichsworld.org. What else do I appreciate everybody listening. Live listeners, archive listeners, thanks so much for being part of this. Let other people know. And if you know somebody who would like to grow spiritually and pursue a career like spiritual counseling or something, life coaching, holistic healing, direct them to Metaphysics Institute, because our work is educational. We're trying to get a message out to the world. We looked a mile higher and we found it. So, you know, help somebody else too, and help everybody involved. So, till next week.
Thank you, Michael.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thanks to Mike for covering the phones for us. Again, thanks everybody for joining us tonight. See you next week. That's all I got. Have a good week.
Good night.